Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you.
Today, I'm joined by a truly inspiring guest, Zoe E. Fox. Zoe is an author, transformational guide, and energy worker devoted to helping people heal their past, raise their vibration, and step into their true power. After navigating grief, trauma, disability, and years of feeling stuck, Zoe discovered how to alchemize pain into purpose and now shares this wisdom to help others awaken their own light. Her beautiful book, Activate Your Light, is a powerful guide to releasing that no longer serves you, activating your energy, and expanding into your highest potential. Zoe, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I wish you could see her, actually. She's a real bright light, listeners, but you just have to listen to her voice. So here we go. So Zoe, your story is incredibly powerful. Can you share a little bit about your journey and what led you to this path of healing and transformation?
Yeah, I'll try and keep it as succinct as possible because it's been a big old
ride. You can go off track, trust me. I have a very flowy show, so it's fine.
Just bear it in mind the amount of time we've got, so I'll try and put it in a nutshell.
Okay.
So it has been a journey of many layers of different life experiences, which at times has taken me into the real depths of the dark depths of the human experience. So really starting, I'd say the sort of key marker point of trauma for me was when my boyfriend died very suddenly in front of me when I was 18 years old, and we lived together and he was only 22 and he had a sudden cardiac arrest, and I did everything I could in that moment to try and save him. It was unsuccessful, and it all just happened in the real blink of an eye. And that moment was so traumatic for me that it just kind of fragmented my entire being. I just had to shut off all these different parts, and over the years I just became deeply depressed and anxious, and the grief just shook me in a way that I just was not capable of coping with at that time. I didn't respond well to any therapy, and I just lived in this sort of pit of darkness that spanned on for many years. And from there, I think because it happened at such a tender age, I never really got to know my true self. And then I was just sort of functioning within these sort of confines of who society says you are, based on who you are, where you grow up, and all of that sort of thing. And trying to find what would be traditional good work that I could kind of slot into, not with any sort of sense of feeling as though I needed to be fulfilled or happy, but just to pay the bills. And I really struggled in the corporate world for over 12 years, really. I didn't realise just how much my mental health was impacting, because this was at a time actually when mental health wasn't really up for conversation quite so much. So I wasn't functioning properly at work. I was ill all the time because my whole energy body was just totally clouded. I mean, this is stuff that I've come to learn over the years. I didn't have that insight at the time, but I'm carrying all of this trauma and stuff with me and not realizing the impact that it was having on my spirit and the way that I was operating. I started to become agoraphobic. I was struggling to get on at work, and I started to get called into the management office, you know, because I was taking so many days off, and my doctor had diagnosed me with PTSD, depression and anxiety disorder, and all of that was really severely impacting the way that I was facing my day-to-day life. So it was around 7 years after my boyfriend died, I started to think about entering into a new relationship, which I wasn't healed. I shouldn't have done it, but I felt like maybe I should give love a chance again after all those years. And it was with somebody I knew, but it wasn't a very good relationship. It was pretty toxic. And that really triggered a lot of deep insecurities within me that stemmed from my PTSD because of the way that he was behaving. And then it became really challenging for me to face the day. It got to a point when I was just like, I don't see how I'm going to get through another day. Life just became so deeply painful that I wanted to cease to exist within the experience, because I just thought, if this is life, I don't know if I want to be in it, you know, because it was so painful. But from that point, I suppose, with the help of my banking job at the time, who directed me to some counselling. And within that, this was the first time I'd really engaged with the counselling service since my boyfriend had died, apart from in the very early stages when I was just like, what's the point of this? Yeah. I'm showing up on a day when I'm feeling okay and actually you're making me bring it up and I'm not feeling it.
That whole beginning, reliving it stuff. Yeah, I get
it. Yeah, yeah. It was too painful. So I was just like, no, that's not for me. I don't see the point of that. But then when I revisited it after kind of being guided firmly by the bank to take some action on my lack of performance, that sort of thing, it turned out to be a real key to transformation, because sitting with this therapist, I can't remember exactly what it was that she said, but she challenged one of my very firm beliefs. And just in that moment, because I created all of these defense mechanisms to help me to get through the day, because I was living with a constant sense of fear that something was going to go wrong all the time. Yeah. Like even getting on the tube, you know, I was catastrophizing all sorts. And she just said something that just reframed like a real hard pattern of mine. And I was like, oh, so I don't need to think like that. And that just kind of opened a portal then for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was an immediate and total transformation, but it began to, it cracked open enough of a door into this dark room to bring in just a spark of light that got me then questioning everything and challenging everything. So from there, it was a bit of a journey, and I kind of found the strength and the courage to leave behind that toxic ex. And again, that was another sort of, you have these key moments in life where you have these shifts and these changes. And I was like, wow, I do have the power to say no and to change my experience. And then actually, when you start to advocate for yourself and what you want, rather than being carried along almost like a cork in the ocean, just sort of like bobbing about, when you put in your anchor and start defining your experience, then you start to realize how the universe starts to work with you. It was quite soon after that that I met my, who went on to become my husband at the time. And again, there was another sense of safety and awakening that kind of came from being within that relationship. He was a really calm guy. He listened. I wasn't having to fight to be heard. And I didn't need to be I went through so much of my life being quite aggressive because I was constantly defensive and feeling as though I needed to protect myself. And, you know, I was so tender and broken inside that I put up this really tough exterior. And within the safety of that relationship, I was able to start putting down some walls. But even within that relationship, I had a very long struggle with infertility. We decided we wanted to try for a baby, and then it would be some 7 years later and a couple of failed rounds of IVF along the way when she decided to come naturally. And it was actually a voice in a dream that was like, do a pregnancy test. And I woke up and I was like, do a pregnancy test.
Okay.
So I did, and I was pregnant, and I was like, oh my goodness me. So that was amazing. I had quite a challenging pregnancy, and within that pregnancy, when it was time to give birth, I ended up with sepsis and then had to have an emergency section. Then I had a hemorrhage. So there was, again, all of this quite scary stuff that has you kind of confronting your own mortality.
Yeah.
And then I just went into, you know, motherhood after that healing process, but it really shook up a lot for me. When anything kind of brings my mortality or that of my loved ones into question, I tend to go back into that PTSD, that realizing just how quickly things can change in life. So it shook my foundations for a little while. And then it was on my daughter's first birthday when I sustained a spinal cord injury. Just like very suddenly, I'd had a bad back for a little while, you know, just over a week, 10 days thereabouts. But for me, I knew it was unusual. So I'd been to my GP, but she didn't seem overly concerned. And I was there crying. And I just think she just thought I was an overly emotional new mum. You know, I was still nursing my daughter at the time. And she's like, oh, have some tablets and go and self-refer for physio sort of thing. And I was like, but oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. This pain is extraordinary. But I had no idea that a bad back could be so sinister. So I just kept going. Had no idea. In hindsight, I realized that she probably should have given me some warning signs for the red flags of the condition that I ended up having, which is Cordura Equina syndrome. So on the day of my daughter's party, the night before, I started losing the feeling on the outside of my foot. And I'm like, this isn't right. I couldn't sleep, but I was in so much pain. I wasn't even really questioning too much the fact that my foot was going numb. So all night I was just walking around this very room that I'm in, trying to stretch, trying to find some ease within all of this pain. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to get through this party. So I made a last minute appointment with an osteopath and I went along in a taxi. And whatever happened in that room made things worse. And by the time I came out, I had what was known as it was like sciatica in one leg. But by the time I left, it was what they call bilateral nerve pain, which was now shooting down both of my legs, which is what is one of these red flag symptoms for the condition Cordura Equina syndrome. So I got in the cab, and I remember my mum phoning. My mum and dad and my uncle were on their way down from Birmingham, and they were trying to make arrangements. And I was like, Mum, I am in so much pain. I can't even talk. The taxi driver was having to go really slowly over these bumps. Anyway, when I went to get out of the car, I realized that I had no sensation below the waist. And I was like, well, that's not normal. So I ended up being rushed to hospital while my mum and dad took my daughter to her party, because, of course, everyone's on their way.
Yeah.
The catering and everything. And I was taken to the hospital, had to have an emergency MRI scan. And I was like, this is a medical emergency. It's Cordura Equina syndrome. And if we don't operate within the next 24 hours, then you could be permanently paralyzed and have permanent dysfunction with, you know, your bladder, your bowels, your function, all of it. And despite them operating very quickly, I've still been left with ongoing issues with mobility. I mean, I can walk, but my legs aren't as strong as they used to be. I've got permanent pain. It's left me with bladder and bowel dysfunction and extreme fatigue. So this all happened just at the very cusp of the global pandemic. So I was kicked out of the neurological ward and sent back home to my third floor flat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, pending an admission to a specialist spinal cord injury unit. But because all of this word was coming through about the pandemic, they're obviously starting to lock everything down. And I came out of hospital 2 weeks before the first official government lockdown. So me trying to get into the spinal unit was just, it was delayed and it was delayed. So I was at home trying to figure out how to manage this newly disabled body with a one-year-old in this global pandemic. And, you know, it was a really difficult time. Because of the amount of stairs I've got at my flat, we don't have a lift, so I couldn't go anywhere. Once I got in, I was lucky to get in, to be honest. But when my daughter was napping, I just start bringing myself up to the window and just sit. And I just had this real strong sense that the injury was trying to teach me something, and that there was something that I needed to learn from this whole experience, to the point where it was like quite frustrating. It's like, I know there's something here for me to learn. And I just started to sit with the trees that are just sat outside my window here, from inside, from sitting on my little mobility stool, and just being really present in the moment and sort of asking these questions in my head, like not expecting any answers really, but just, you know, it starts with the kind of like, why me? Or, you know, I'm a good person, to like, what is this here to teach me?
And well, hold that moment. I'm just going to hand over to our sponsors, and when we come back, we are going to find out what made Zoe write the book.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, sorry to cut you off just then, but because you're just going to another bit, which I'm very excited to know. So, from sitting with the trees and asking yourself the question when you've gone through all this horrific time, and I'm sorry to hear that is just so horrific, what happened when you looked at the trees?
Well, I started to receive messages about seasons and cycles of life. And it was like the trees were showing me how I'm just a part of nature, and as a part of nature, we go through seasons and cycles. Some of those seasons are about shedding. Some of those seasons are about blooming, and basically that I would bloom again.
Yeah.
And I just started to give myself a little bit more grace. And as I said, I've been on this healing journey for a while. The first part of it was very much like the intellectual, the mindset part. I forgot to mention, after that counselling, I then went to Birkbeck University of London to study counselling, because I was like, this is really helpful. And actually, I was being quite resourceful because I couldn't afford therapy at the time. Yeah. So I thought, let me go and learn it.
And then I can help people because I've been through it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd been on this journey for a while. But this part of the journey for me was more about like a spiritual understanding of my pain and my healing, and just being open to that and realizing how much I'd been on this hamster wheel for my whole life,
yeah,
just running and running and running, and never really stopping to just sit with myself, because there was always somewhere else to be, yeah, always something else to do. And it was actually in the stillness that I found so much peace, even with my body in all the pain and dysfunction that it was in, even having lost my income as a self-employed marketer at the time, mm-hmm, and literally being stripped bare.
Yeah.
And I just connected to this sense of love and connection that I hadn't experienced in that way before. And something within that, when I had nothing more than hope and faith and a broken body, but with just that little bit of hope, little bit of faith, and sitting in that stillness and connecting to a greater energy, I was just like, there's so much more to life than what we're being led to believe. And I actually started to see it as a privilege that I was able to have this downtime so that I could really see all the stuff that had been holding me back, all the stuff that I've been running from, that had been living in the shadows of my past, like sitting on my back,
This
heavy backpack that sort of leers over the top of you with this dark shadow. And I just started finding the courage to sit with the discomfort that was coming up, and to sit with the painful parts. And I realized that actually so much of it stemmed from, you know, tender parts of me when I was younger. And when I started to learn to just sit with the discomfort and to sit with those parts and to treat it with the tenderness that it deserved and the love and the care, and just to let it be, it all started to lose its grip, because fear had dominated so much of my life for so long. It stopped me from really connecting to my potential. So once I started to see that actually sitting with the shadows is less scary than it seems, it started to then become this key to helping me to unlock all these different parts of my potential. And then it became quite addictive, actually, because I'd lived so small for so long. Now I'm starting to feel like I'm really truly alive from the inside, even though on the outside looking in, it's like everything's gone to pot.
Yeah.
I had this light within, and I started nurturing it and growing it and following the guidance, and just being truly happy with like the simplicity of my experience. I'd stopped being scared of things. I'd stopped kind of seeing the material world as the thing to chase, because once you're chasing materialism, it never ends, because they're always inventing something new to keep you on that hamster wheel.
They do, yeah.
And obviously we live in a material world. We need some degree of material stuff to survive. But when it doesn't become your whole entire aspiration and you do become content with just sitting with the birds and the trees, and then anything else becomes a bonus. And I'd realised kind of over the years that I'd learned quite a lot that might help other people to find a sense of contentment within themselves as well. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that are struggling.
I know it you know, it's the self-awareness of the journey, isn't it? The thing that I was going to ask, so what would you say to someone who's listening to this now? And I understand your journey because I had a massive car accident and various things happened. But let's talk about someone listening in now that they feel lost in their own power. What would be just a small tip that you could give them?
I think start by just acknowledging the path that you've walked and give yourself a little bit of grace. I think we live in a society at the moment, especially with social media, where you see people living these, you know, glamorous lives, and it makes you feel like you should be somewhere that you're not. But I think if we start to acknowledge ourselves, our own unique path, one of the exercises that I've got in my book actually is just that process of stepping into the awareness of where you've been, what you've been through, what belongs to you and what doesn't. And it can be like you're walking around in a bit of a cloud, and some of this stuff is yours, some of it isn't. But if you start to take some time to just start looking at these little parts and thinking, actually, that's not mine. I don't need to carry that.
Yeah.
Or it could be something as simple as just starting to write or express yourself, whether it's creatively, whether it's through the written word. Sometimes, again, with this heaviness that we're carrying, we can't see the wood for the trees because there's so much that sits on our spirit. But if you allow yourself to just sit and just write and let your body decompress and start to put onto the page or whatever, what is sitting at the top of your spirit, then you can start to get some separation between yourself and what you're carrying. And I think it helps you to look at it a little bit more objectively when you're able to sort of take it out, put it on the paper and take a little bit of breath. And then you can sort of think about what to do with it. But grace is giving yourself grace as well for what you've had to overcome in life.
Gosh, this is a biggie for me. Making me feel a bit choked up, actually. Never thought about it that way. We're just going to hand over to our sponsors. But when we come back, I want to talk mainly about your book and what's in it and where people can get it, and, you know, but I am going to ask for a few more tips.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio. Or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. We're in our final quarter and we've only got 20 minutes left. Well, 15 actually. But I want to ask you some questions. Thank you for being so open and so expressive of it, because for our listeners, I'm sure they've heard some of what you've said because it's resonated to me. So one of the things that you've put in is exhale, activate and expand. That's what I got out of that. Can you break that down for me so that I can, and our listeners, obviously.
So those are the three key stages that I guide you through in the book. So exhale is all about that first part. It's about understanding where we've been, what we've been through, how society's impacted our perspectives, perhaps what's come down through our family line that we've inherited and also ancestrally. Thinking about our environments, all of the stuff that is immediately impacting us, so we can start that process of filtration, of understanding what's ours, what's not, what's coming forward and what can stay. And then once you start to take off that heavy backpack, you get that sense of being able to exhale finally. And it's really important that we do that first part of the process, because the next part, when we go into activate, this is where we start to look at ourselves as energetic beings in this energetic universe. And we start to work with our energetic experience to support us on our healing journey. So we start to look at the heart that as an energetic center, not just as a pump that lives in our body, but something that helps us to create our frequency, and it impacts what we put out. And it's all backed by science as well. There's a lot of work that's been done about that at the moment, and understanding how what we carry impacts our vibration and how we interface with the world around us. We're also going to be looking at some of our more subtle senses and some of the ways that we can pick up energy and information from the world around us that we haven't been conditioned into. So like, we're so used to our traditional senses, but there are other ways that we can receive more psychic information that can help us on our path. So it helps people to, if they don't have any exposure to that, to understand how some of those senses work, as well as the chakra system as well. So we're really understanding ourselves energetically. Once we understand that, it helps us in how we present in the world, because I see us as like an energetic instrument. Yeah. And once you start to get clarity on all of these different parts of it, it really refines the tune that you play, which ultimately is what helps you to shine and shine your light in the world. Yeah. And then with that, we go into expand, which is the final stage of the book. Now with activate, it's easy to have all of this spiritual and energetic knowledge and just have it there in your head. But expand is what helps us to start to really embody that, so we can step out into the world and start to know what it feels like to live within our potential, to start tapping into our potential. This is where we start to notice what it's like when we start to go out of our comfort zone and we want to contract and shrink back in.
Yeah.
And there's tools within there that help to guide you through that, but also to know that that's a very natural part of the expansion cycle that we go through when you start to feel that resistance. There's ways and techniques in there that help you to connect to a future vision for yourself, so you can start bringing that into manifestation. So much of our experience is so fine, and our imagination is a huge part of helping us on that journey. So it's allowing ourselves to connect to our imagination and then ground it down into our reality. Much of which I have done on my own journey on becoming an author. It wasn't something I ever envisaged for my life. It wasn't something that was ever pitched as being something that was possible for me, but this has all been part of my process as well. And about building community as well, because when you're on this healing journey, you shift. Not everybody who's been in your life is going to stay there. Exactly. And it's important to find aligned communities that want to see you grow and want to see you shine, because it feels like it's quite a self-indulgent journey. But actually, we are all just little pinpoints of light on this globe that we live. And when we do our healing and connect to our light, we expand that to our communities. And then we're doing our little bit to just create a better world, because the world definitely needs a lot more healing and a lot more light. So
I know.
It's an individual journey, but it's part of a bigger mission as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you make so much sense. And I, you know, when people have had trauma, you've had in your life, which is, trauma sounds a really weak word. What's happened to you has been really, really, really horrible. And that you ended up, the universe made you, so you had to sit with it and look out. I find that people like you that I've met in my life have this great opportunity, and I think this is what's going to come through in the book for our listeners to buy, is that, and by the way, Hay House guys picked her up, so that's how good she is, that you have this ability for people to understand it's already in them, but they don't know how to use it. And, you know, we all go through traumatic things and all that, and we don't sit with it. You know, we move forward, don't we? So for someone at the very beginning of this spiritual journey, so they've gone through, they've read your book, where would you say you would start the, other than buying your book, the their awakening? Where would you, yours came through a traumatic time. How would they start to learn about their intuition and how it plays in creating the life that they've got now? Because that's what, part of what you're explaining, isn't it? Is intuition coming in?
Yeah. So within the book as well, there's lots of inquiry prompts. So in using those inquiry prompts, you're just connecting back in with yourself. So it's asking yourself these questions, starting to trust the information, and we're doing the healing as well to make sure that, like, what we're receiving is clear and not clouded by trauma, because it's easy to get confused about what is truth, what is trauma, what are patterns of old, which is why we do the first part of the work. But so much of it is being willing to sit with yourself. And I'm not saying this is a quick and easy process, but I'm saying if you are willing to be an active participant within it, then you'll start to get insights. And follow your curiosity, because there will be things that come up in this journey that pique these little bits of curiosity within you. And if that's followed by excitement, follow that curiosity, because there will be a path in there within your soul journey that is just waiting to be illuminated. But it starts with asking yourself questions, getting clear on, as I've said before, you know, what belongs to you, what doesn't, what excites you, what lights you up, and then taking the steps to follow that stuff. So be curious. Meet this journey with like a childlike wonder is what I would say. Take a deep breath, exhale, relax, have fun, fall in love, make it romantic. Like, get this to be a journey of reconnecting with the beauty of yourself, with your light, and have fun getting to know who you are. You know, if your soul's asking you to start painting, paint. If it's asking you to pick up some oracle cards, pick up the oracle cards. If you're being called to get into nature, go and spend that time in nature. Put your phone down, you know, with all of it, put your phone down, reconnect to your own unique wisdom.
Yeah. So if there's one message you'd love to give, though you've been given loads of messages, this whole show is about you sharing at your wiseness, if that's a word. If there's one message you'd love every listener to take away today, what would it be?
Sometimes life throws really hard stuff at us, and it can be painful, and it's not about bypassing that pain, but it's about starting to ask the questions: what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? What is this teaching me about myself? What do I want more of? What do I want less of? And just use these things as opportunities to get to know yourself better, follow what feels good, let go of what's painful. It's a process, but trust, even within these darkest of moments, they might just be stepping stones that are leading you to your highest timeline.
That's beautiful. Zoe, this has been such a beautiful and uplifting conversation, genuinely. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your light with us today. Your book, Activate Your Light, sounds like a truly transformative guide for anyone ready to heal, grow, and step into their things. For our listeners, where can they buy it? When is it released? Tell us all about you. Where can they find you if they want to work with you? What's your, you know, website, etc.?
So the book is available to pre-order. It's publishing officially on the 5th of May. Yep. It's available on all the major book platforms. I've got a link in my Instagram bio. There's also, you can find the more information about the book through my website, which is zoefox.co.uk, and you'll be able to see more information on Activate Your Light there. On the social channels across all the platforms, my handle is Zoe Ellen Fox, all one word. Did I miss anything?
No, so you've got podcasts out already, have you, about the book?
Yeah, so I do a little bit of chat on YouTube. There's some legacy podcasts that I've done, which was more about kind of just sharing the journey as I was going, quite raw and unfiltered, which is available on YouTube as well. It started off as Curl Power because I've got curly hair.
She has beautiful curly hair.
Thank you. And then it evolved into Her Power because I didn't think the Curl Power was doing justice to the depth of the work. Yeah. I'll be launching another podcast soon. I'm just getting the book launched into the hands of those it can help. But yeah, so if you could keep an eye on my socials, then you'll find out a little bit more from there. But yeah, the website will kind of direct you to.
Very interesting. Okay, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. So remember, everyone, your environment reflects your energy. And when you shift your energy, you can truly transform your life, as Zoe has said.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.